الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، last time we have discussed issues concerning to belief, creed and practices that will make an individual fall into disbelief or falling into transgression or falling into depravity, kufr, zulm or fisq. The first one of which was to pass judgment based on other than the rule or other than the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said a person who does that, the implication of this practice is, or the implication of this practice is one of four implications. Can you tell us one of them? No. We said for a person to pass judgment based on other than the revelation, that implies that this person is suited for one of the four things.
He believes that Allah is messenger, or he don't have the right to legislate.
No.
He believes that Allah is messenger, for he have the right to legislate, but his legislation is better. The one that the person believes that Allah does nothing to have the right to legislate, that his legislation is equal to Allah's and the person's legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. If it depending on the motive for which an individual rules or governs by man-made law, that will make this person fall of one of the three categories, disbelief, zulm, or fisq. Can you tell us what are those motives?
For the Lord is when he wants to like take the right of, he believes that Allah is messenger, so he doesn't have the right to legislate, and he believes that that legislation is better than his, but he wants to take the right of other people, so this is when he falls into zulm. The person who believes that Allah is messenger, so he has the right to legislate, and their legislation is better, but he goes with his legislation because of his desire. He wants to do what he wants to do. And he becomes
faster. Having said that, inshallah, we move on to the continuation of this very important discussion. We said previously, people may fall into disbelief due to a not ruling or not governing according to Allah's law. That was A. And under A we have four implications of that. And then we discussed that B for legislating laws. People might fall into disbelief for legislating laws, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only authority that has the right to legislate laws. So now what we have, people may fall into disbelief due to A, not ruling or not governing according to Allah's rule; B, for legislating rules. And this person who legislates laws and rules, also, he might be a disbeliever, or he might be a fascist, or might be a depraved person, depending on the motive for which he is legislating those rules. Do you understand this point? I see perplexed looks on your face. This is a very important issue. So we repeat it again. We say people may fall into this belief due to, first, not ruling or not governing according to Allah's rule. The people who do not rule by the rule of Allah and do not govern by the rule of Allah, based on the motive for which they are doing that, they might be disbelievers, or they might be ghalim, from the ghalimeen, or they might be from al-fasiqeen. Those people who legislate laws, enact laws, made on the motive for which those people make those laws, might be disbelievers, or might be transgressors, or might be depraved. And we have discussed that previously. Now we're going to say, see, obeying those who legislate laws, thus making the halal haram and the haram halal. So people may fall into disbelief due to obeying those who legislate laws, thus making the halal haram and the haram halal. Obedience should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those who have authority over you. The ayah repeated the verb obey. So when it comes to obeying Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, obey Allah. So the command was given. The word obey was said. And when it came to obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and obey the Prophet. The verb was repeated. But when it came to obeying those who have authority over us, he said, and those who have authority over you. And the word obey was not repeated. The secret for which the word obey was not repeated to signify to us that we can only obey those who have authority over us if they are ordering us and their orders are incoherent with the orders of Allah and the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who those who have authorities over us? The scholar and the political leader. Al-ulama wal-umara. Those are who have authority over the people. It is mandatory upon us to obey those who have authority over us, as long as they are ordering us and their orders confirm to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have to obey them. But if we obey them in disobeying Allah and the Messenger, our obedience to them is at this point might make us disbelievers or transgressors or depraved, fanatical, depending on the motive for which we are obeying them. So, for example, if a person comes and he says, from now on, it's not permissible for Muslims to eat chicken. Allah made it lawful for us to eat chicken. But this person says, without having given any extra, say, poisonous or it's not good, without having any of that, say, it's not permissible to eat chicken from now on. Now the people obey him in that and making what is halal, haram. Those people who obey him and this issue, making something that is halal into haram, constitutes shirk with Allah. The reason being because Allah is the only deity that has the right to legislate. And we have to ascribe oneness to him as the only deity who has the right to legislate. When another individual makes a rule, he's making himself partner with Allah. And when we accept his rule, we are considering him as deity with Allah. Therefore, we say obeying the scholar or the political authority in matter that opposes the rules of Allah constitutes accepting those scholars and political authority as deity with Allah. Because legislation is the exclusive right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, whomsoever or whoever legislates law, he is considering himself as a partner to Allah. And whoever accepts his legislation, he is accepting this person as a deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having said that, we move on to read the chapter that we are dealing with in the book of Al-Tawheed. Chapter number 38. Whoever obeys the scholars and the rulers, thus making halal what Allah made haram, or making haram what Allah making halal, what Allah made halal, he has certainly taken them as deity or as lord with Allah. Before we explain this chapter, we re-emphasize again that obeying the scholar or obeying the religious authority in making things that are halal into haram and things that is haram into halal, depending on the motive of disobedience, depending on the motive of disobedience to them, will make a person fall in one of those categories. If a person obeys them in making the rabbit meat haram for him to kill his chicken off, he's doing that for personal gain. Even though he does not speak of them as deity to legislate, that would make him into the category of Al-Fasiqi. If a person accepts their ruling to take the properties of others, that would make him fall into the category of Zalimeen. If a person accepts their ruling and obey their legislation because he thinks it's more befitting to humanity nowadays, better than the rule of Allah, it makes it easier on the people, then this person is falling into major disbelief, taking into consideration what we have said last time we've met. We have to realize that this person does not have any misunderstanding, and this person is not doing what he's doing based on ignorance. Because Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, whoever we know for certainty is a Muslim, we cannot take him outside in Islam by doubt. So having said that, we start reading in this chapter. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, يوشك أن تنزل عليكم حجارة من السماء. أقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وتقولون قال أبو بكر وعمر. It may be that stones are soon to descend upon you from the heavens. I say to you, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم says, and you say to me, Abu Bakr and Umar says, this hadith does not belittle the opinions of Abu Bakr and Umar at all. And it does not mean Ibn Abbas belittling the opinions of Abu Bakr and Umar. Because Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي, Abu Bakr wa Umar. Follow those who come after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. But this hadith refers to an issue that Ibn Abbas used to give a certain fatwa, and this fatwa is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The people will try to refute the fatwa of Ibn Abbas by saying that Abu Bakr and Umar said this and that. Then Ibn Abbas will come to them and tell them, it's about maybe time when a stone is going to come to you as a punishment. Because I'm telling you, this is what the Prophet said, and you are opposing with the statement of Abu Bakr or Umar. So that means no one has the authority to oppose the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is applicable to us nowadays when we give a certain fatwa to those people who worship Allah by being bigot to their madhab. They worship Allah by being bigot to their madhab. We tell them, subhanAllah, we tell the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and you are opposing that with the statement of the Imam that you are bigot to. So from here we know that no matter who is the authority, we can never obey this authority in disobeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The other ayah that was mentioned in this chapter, an ayah in Surah An-Nur, where it says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those who come against and uphold the command of the Prophet, be warned. Be warned that a punishment will not come over them, or they are not going to be subjected to a fitna. So in this ayah, it tells us, if we disobey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we uphold the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we might be subjecting ourselves to torment from Allah or to fitna. Imam Malik was asked, or Imam Ahmad was asked, what is the fitna? He said, ash-shirk. Allah will put causes of shirk in the heart of the person who opposes the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third evidence that is brought in this chapter, which is very important, that Adi ibn Hatim radiyallahu anhu. Adi ibn Hatim, he is the son of Hatim al-Qa'i. You know who is Hatim al-Qa'i? Have you heard of him? He was known to be a very generous person in the days of the Jahiliyyah. And so they say he is as generous nowadays as Hatim al-Qa'i. This is his son, Adi ibn Hatim. He was a Christian, and he studied the Christianity. Then after that, he accepted Islam, came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was attending the lessons and the talks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one of those meetings, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting the following ayah. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون فقلت له إنا لسنا نعبدهم فقال أليس يحرمون ما أحل الله فتحرمونه ويحلون ما حرم الله فتحلونه فقلت بلى قال فتلك عبادتهم. In this Adi ibn Hatim, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting this ayah where it says they took their rabbi and their priest as deities or as Lord with Allah. And they took Al-Masih ibn Maryam as the deity with Allah. And they were ordered to worship one deity. There is no deity except him, glory be to him, from their association. So Adi ibn Hatim, he said, O Prophet of Allah, we do not worship them. Meaning, they do not worship the priest and the rabbi. Why did he say that? Because Adi ibn Hatim, at that time, understood worship to be praying, fasting, calling upon them. So from that point of view, he said, we do not worship them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, isn't it true that they make something which is halal, they make it haram, and you follow them and you accept it? They said, he said, yes. He said, isn't it true that they make something which is halal, they make it haram, and you follow them? He said, yes. He said, this is worshipping them. So worshipping, in that perspective, is not only related to praying, fasting, making nazar to, but also accepting their legislation and changing the rules of Allah. To make something halal into haram and making it haram into halal, this is changing the rules of Allah. From this we know that accepting the scholars who change the rules of Allah, accepting their judgment, accepting their legislation, is worshipping them and taking them as deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why we say taking them as deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because we learned in Tawheed we have to ascribe oneness to Allah Azza wa Jal in His Rububiyyah, in His Uluhiyyah, and His names and attributes. One of the attributes of Allah that He is the one who legislates. When somebody else legislates and we accept his legislation, that means we take this individual as partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the partnership is they legislate and Allah legislates. You understand? So from here, ya akhwan, you know the importance of studying Tawheed. Tawheed is not only related to correcting or to restoring people's creed as far as practices of worship, fasting, praying, making nazar, but also restoring them, restoring their creed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only authority that has the right to legislate. And no one else has the right to legislate. And I'm talking about that. Nobody comes to say, how about those traffic lights that we have? They were not talking about making sure that things are going in order. Because that is, even though we are legislating laws, but those are some of the things that it was left up to us to see what is befitting our societies and revise it and go with that which is more beneficial. So legislation is forced to legislate rules and making things that are haram, halal into haram and things that are haram into halal and changing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. But you look at the Muslim society everywhere, you find most of the Muslim societies, they deal with man-made laws. And those man-made laws make things that are haram, halal. And they make things that are halal, haram. And we see people are following this program. The majority of the people following this program. We're not saying they are disbelievers, as some people say, because they might be ignorant. They might be having misunderstanding. Or they might be following this program for the reason of personal gain. But we see how Tawheed is related to us very deeply, and it governs our everyday life. Having said that, we stop at this point and we read the issue concerning this chapter.
Explanation of the verses for the Lord. Explanation of the verses for the Lord.
No.
Pointing out the meaning of worship. That was
yes, the meaning of worship that was denied by Adi ibn Hatim where he says, O Prophet of Allah, you do not worship them. And he understood worship to be praying for them, calling upon them. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illustrated to him that obeying them and changing Allah's rule is worshipping them.
The example given of Abu Bakr, Umar, Ibn Abbas, Ahmed, the example of Sufyan.
Where is that Ahmed example? Did you skip it over?
Mm-hmm.
I skipped it. Read it for us to see what it says.
You know, Ahmed is a humble machine of the Lord God says, and astonished at the people who know the chain of the transition and its authenticity, but nevertheless follow the opinion of Sufyan of Thawri, or Allah Ta'ala says.
Okay. So that's related to what we have been speaking to. Here Imam Ahmad is not belittling the statement of Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, but he is censuring those people and blaming those people when they know the hadith and the hadith is authentic, yet they choose to go with the statement of an individual who is pious, but he was not the messenger. So we have to always go when we have the evidence comes from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to go with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we turn away from his amr, we might be subjecting ourselves to torment or to fitna. So on.
It isn't a change to the point that the worship of Mark has become the letter B under the name of the island, while the worship of Merman is related to the knowledge and understanding. Thereafter, the condition changed to the point that those worship beside Allah were not even mentioned, and those